Open up, please, to Colossians chapter 1. We'll start off here with the very first verse. Paul is writing and he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. All right, so what we see immediately is Paul recognizing the fact that him being an apostle is a result of a call of God upon his life, and the call of God was placed upon his life as a result of, as he says right here, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So therefore, it is by the will of God that a ministry is established in a person. Now, what that means is that we as believers, and we've talked about this before when we've studied Ephesians and 1 Corinthians, each one of us has a ministry calling. This ministry calling has been appointed unto us by the will of God. Therefore, it is impossible for anybody to impart to you a ministry calling. It cannot happen. I know that a lot of people teach otherwise. I know that there have been prayer lines for ministry impartations. Man cannot give you anything by the will of man. It comes strictly, completely, totally by the will of God. So Paul is identifying that right here. It was by the will of God he had this calling. Therefore, we have to come to the same conclusion that the will of God is what causes us to have our calling or your ministry. Same thing. And our ministry is strictly and only by the will of God. And each of us has a calling. Each of us has a ministry. Now look over in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God that works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So one way to say that is God's working in us to produce his will. What is his will? One of the aspects of his will is his call, his ministry that he has placed upon us. So God is going to work in us to produce this ministry calling in our lives. Herein is where many Christians make a huge mistake. If you can get them to come to the place of accepting that God has a purpose for their life, a will, a call, a ministry, then what happens is they think about that, then they see a verse like it's God working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. The assumption then becomes, he's working in me to cause it to come out. I mean, after all, that's what it says right there. So if he's called me to be an apostle or a pastor or whatever it would be, God is working in me to will and to do of his good pleasure, and his good pleasure would be in part to bring forth that ministry calling in my life. Well, that's true, except a lot of Christians believe that God is just doing this. In other words, I wake up in the morning and God's working in me. I go through my thing all day long. I go to my job and what all, God is working in me. I go home, God's working in me. I cut the grass, do the laundry, wash the dishes, cook dinner, eat, watch TV, go to bed. God is working in me. I sleep all night long. God is working in me. Wake up, the whole thing goes on and repeats itself. God is working in me, and someday, that ministry is going to come out. Well, how many people are still waiting for someday? How many of you remember years ago, Jim Nabors? Remember he played Gomer Pyle? And he had a TV show, the Jim Nabors Show. Do you remember that? He opened the show with a song called Tomorrow Never Comes. And it talked about, you know, here he is, he's in love and he wants to get married and so forth. And you tell me that you love me, you tell me that you care and so on and so forth. And that tomorrow we'll be married, but tomorrow never comes. Well, you've got Christians. Every day they wake up and they think today is my tomorrow because today's the day it's going to start happening. Well, it doesn't happen. All right, well, tomorrow is my tomorrow. Well, next week will be my tomorrow. 15 years later. And so you have Christians waiting for their tomorrow. They get frustrated and many times they go to the pastor, and I've experienced this, folks coming to me. I just don't understand. Where is my ministry? Because after all, we all have a ministry, we all have a calling, and God is working in me to bring it forth, says it right there in Philippians. So where is it? Well, let's look at this. Turn to another place over in Colossians. Turn back over there. Colossians chapter 1. This time, look at verse 9. In verse 9 it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Pay attention to how this is written and the message in this. He says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it," heard what? Well, of their life in Christ. "Do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Look, why would I pray that if it was happening on a continual basis? In other words, if God's working in you, every day that you wake up, every night that you go to bed, if God is working in you to do this, then why would I have to pray for you that it happens? Do you understand what I'm saying? So what this verse is telling us is that it's not just automatically happening. When I wake up in the morning, it's not automatically happening. All day long, it's not automatically happening. All night. And in other words, the perception that I've had that over the last 15 years, God's been working to all of a sudden bring forth my ministry calling and make me into this great evangelist or whatever, maybe it's not been going on the way I think. Maybe He's not been working in me the way that I think. Because right here in this ninth verse, a variable has been introduced. What is that variable? That it's not automatic. Why would I pray and ask God to do something He's already doing every day in your life? Now let's look at another place. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. So therefore, if it's not automatically happening, then there has to be something else going on. There has to be, I don't know if you want to call it the missing factor or whatever, but there has to be something else going on. Because in the one place, it does say that God is working in me to will and to do of His good pleasure. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." Now let's stop right here. You basically have two groups of Christians. 2 Corinthians chapter... Oh, what did I tell you? Chapter 2? Shame on me. Chapter 3. Was chapter 2 verse 5 any good? "But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me in... that I might not overcharge you." In other words, if you cause the preacher grief, he's going to overcharge you at the offering time. That is not what that means. Let's get back over here to the other. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. "Not that we are," verse 5, "not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." I mentioned a moment ago that basically we have two groups of Christians, at least as far as this message is concerned. One group believes that, yes, I have a ministry calling, and God's working in me to bring it about. But then you have Christians who have the mindset that they can't be used by God because they're not able to be used by God. In their minds, there's this belief that because of what I've done in my past, who I've been, how I acted, God can't use me. I'm not prepared. I mean, I don't have the education. I don't have the ability. I don't have this. I don't have that. And they're not, some people, they're just on a, like a, they've got this martyr mindset, you know, woe is me. We're not talking about them. We're talking about the people that genuinely struggle with the concept of being used by God and that God has a ministry for their life. "You don't know the habits I've had. You don't know the things that I've done," and so forth. And God just can't use me. I mean, I didn't even graduate from high school and so on. And well, what has Paul written here? Notice what he talks about relative to sufficiency. He says, not... Paul is writing now. This is the guy, I mean, the Apostle Paul. "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves." See that? "To think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." Do you know what that means? That means God's up in heaven and He's looking down at you and He's saying, I don't care how educated you is or isn't. Your sufficiency is not of you. Your sufficiency is of me. But now see, we in the world, body of Christ, we twist this thing around. And what we do is we tell Christians, if you will go to seminary, if you will go to Christian college or whatever it will be, then as you go through the courses and as you go through the classes and you pass everything, when you've graduated, you then are going to be ready to step into the role of whatever, whatever you think you want to be. Do you know what that is? I'll tell you what, let me just be a little blunt. Any school that tells you you're ready to step behind a pulpit and preach because you graduated from that school is lying to you. And I don't care what your religion, I don't care what your denomination, I don't care where you've gone. I don't care how you have your collar turned or how many neckties you wear, it doesn't matter. Just because you went to school doesn't mean you're ready for anything. Because when you say, I graduated from, and they gave me the piece of paper, do you know what you're doing? You're contradicting the very Word of God. Because the Word of God says your sufficiency is not of yourself. Your sufficiency is of God, and you do not get God's sufficiency by going to school. You say, well, now I take issue with that. Well, then you need to have a long talk with the Apostle John and the Apostle Peter. Remember what happened with them? Remember that fellow? Silver and gold have I none, since I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And the guy, a miracle, the guy gets healed, been lame his whole life. And then the religious leaders, they bring Peter and John in there and they say, what gives you the right to do this? In what name? And where do you get your authority? And so on and so forth. And the Bible says they knew that they were unlearned, ignorant. They call them ignorant. The Bible says that they recognized that Peter and John were ignorant and unlearned men. This is what caused them a major problem. Because they knew these guys were a couple of stinky fishermen. They're not qualified to stand up and preach, stand up and teach. They're not qualified to work a miracle because they didn't go to our school. And bless God, if we don't anoint you, you're not anointed. And I'm telling you right now, you've got churches all over the place that have people operating by their own sufficiency and not by the sufficiency of God. And people show up in churches that are being managed by those kinds of individuals and they keep paying them week after week. You know, keep operating by your own sufficiency. Come on, have at it. And here was Paul. If anybody could say, I'm qualified by my own sufficiency, it was the Apostle Paul. I mean, this guy was a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee of Pharisees. Historically, some secular historians have said that he was on the path to become the next Aristotle or Socrates. I mean, the man was absolutely brilliant. And yet he laid all that aside and he said, I count it all but dung. I just want to know Christ and Him crucified. His sufficiency was in God. And so what he was saying is, look, it doesn't matter my own background. I am not sufficient of myself to stand up and teach you Colossians, you Philippians, you Galatians, you Corinthians, you Romans. I'm not sufficient in and of myself. My sufficiency comes from God. So now, here you have somebody who was a somebody, who saw himself as a nobody, so that God would make him a somebody. I'm not going to repeat that. I'm not even going to try. But you understand what I'm talking about. And so therefore, everybody, I don't care, you know, you may be here watching, listening, whatever. You may think, because I have never been, or because of all of what I did, that, you know, God really can't use me. You need to understand that God is not looking at your sufficiency. He is looking at what He can do in you. That word sufficient or sufficiency, it means ability. It means the qualifications to do a thing. So what happens is, God will qualify you and He will make you sufficient. He will make you able
to do everything He's called you to do. But the key is, this sufficiency doesn't come from man. It comes only from God. Now let's look in another place. Look in Hebrews chapter 13. So what I'm seeing then is that my sufficiency comes from God. And not only does my sufficiency come from God, but there's this, remember we read a few moments ago that you'd come to the knowledge of the will and so forth? Well, if my sufficiency comes from God, then obviously that knowledge and that information has to come from God too. Again, this is why just going to a Bible college or a seminary or any of these other things, that doesn't get you where you need to be. At Grace Ministries Bible College, one of the things that we do is emphasize the fact that Grace Ministries Bible College can't make you anything. All we can do is give you the information you need, and by applying what we teach, you will become what God wants you to become. What we do at the Bible College is we're pointing people to Jesus and what He can do in you. We're not pointing people to us. And I've had people ask me, well, after we graduate, do we get ordained? No, you don't. And some folks are kind of, they're not mad about that, but they don't understand that. Because in so many seminaries and Christian schools, once you graduate, they just give you an ordination. Well, big whoopee, you pass tests. And passing tests does not make you sufficient to do it. You can have a whole lot of head knowledge, but no spiritual anything. I mean, you'd be empty on the inside. And so what we do is we teach people how to press into God to receive from God the sufficiency He can impart unto you. And it doesn't matter what you do. This is one of the reasons why at Grace Ministries Bible College, we do not demand or require that you graduate from high school. There are some Christian schools and universities and all this out there, they demand that you have either a GED or a high school diploma before you can enroll. Would you like to know why that is? Somebody, please make me feel good and say yes. I'm like, okay. It's because they're trying to appease the government and maintain their standing and their approval. That's why. Because see, when you maintain those standards, you can sometimes qualify for grants from the government to operate. And the way I look at it, what if you grew up someplace where there was no school? What if you're an immigrant? And you never went to high school. What if you just are the equivalent of fifth grade or seventh grade or something? And like Jethro, he went to sixth grade. Do you see what I'm saying? Why should we deny somebody admission to the college when that might be the next Peter or the next John? Just because you haven't met the world's standards doesn't mean that you won't meet God's standards. Your sufficiency is not of yourself. So God looks at you and He says, you know what? You see yourself as not being able, but I see myself as the container of all the ability you need to do what I've called you to do. After all, it's my calling. Why should I depend upon you to sufficient yourself? He's the one that's got the calling for your life. He's the one that will cause you to be able to do it. Your sufficiency will be of God. Totally and completely of Him. See, that makes me feel good because that means I don't have to rely on myself. Thank God. And you don't have to rely on you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, man, look at this. This is powerful. He says that God is the one who will make you perfect, or who will perfect you, who will develop you, who will make you sufficient in every good work to do His will. So He's saying, look, God is the one who's going to do this. God is the one who will cause you to be smart enough to fulfill your calling. And I was raised in school and graduated and all these other kinds of things, but a lot of people haven't. And you know what? What's really sad? This is what's funny sometimes. Talking to people and so on and so forth, and you know, I don't know, you know, you just yapping away. Then all of a sudden, I don't bring this up, but you know, like somebody there with me, whatever, in a group, and somebody brings up the fact, well, you know, and he's, you know, not just a pastor, but you know, he's got his doctorate, he's got a PhD. And there are some people, as soon as they find that out, they change. Oh, really? Really? So you're a doctor? Oh. It's like, wait a minute. You telling me that in 2 seconds, I went from whatever you thought I was to whatever you think I am now? Trust me, nothing changed. You just found out there are a few more letters of the alphabet at the end of my last name. And if somebody else hadn't brought it up, you would have never known. Because I'm not going to, you know, big whoopee. I mean, you know, thank God for what it is. But I didn't do it. It's not about impressing people. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe you don't. I don't know. The thing is, too many people are impressed by worldly accomplishments. Too many Christians are... there are churches now, when they're looking for a pastor, they tell you right up front, don't apply unless you have your doctorate or you have a master's and you're working on your doctorate. It's like, give me a break. You imagine that? In a church like that, not even Jesus could be the pastor. What's that? You're the Son of God? Okay, great. But do you have your doctorate? Well, I am the great physician. No, no, no. You don't get it. Show me your diploma. You seriously? So, here it says that God is going to be the one to work in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. But notice what it says after that. Well-pleasing, He's working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. How? Through Jesus Christ. Okay? To whom be glory and so forth. So God's working in me through Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, what that means is, the stronger my fellowship with Jesus, the more God is able to work in me through Jesus to bring about this good work, to bring about His goodwill, to bring about His pleasure, to perfect me, to make me sufficient in everything that He has called me to do. Everything. Now, some people have talked about the grace of God, because when you read about God's grace, there's so much that Paul wrote about, well, it's because of the grace of God I am what I am, and so on and so forth. Well, look over in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Now look here. Verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, which we are, we're born again, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, relative to this message, he says here, all right, you're a Christian. Now, seek those things which are above. Okay, now if I'm going to seek those things which are above, what am I seeking? At least one of the things that I'm seeking. It's what God has for my life, right? Because if the call comes from God, according to His will, that means I need to find out from Him, and finding out from Him is going to, being with Him is going to help me find out from Him what He wants. You know, when I met Kathy, look here, it says, seek those things which are above. All right, when I met Kathy, I sought her. You with me? In other words, I met her and I thought, oh yeah. And so I started seeking after her. And as I began to seek after her, verse 2, I set my affection on things on the earth. Hallelujah. Now here's what I'm getting at. If, you know, I met her, but if I had never asked her out again after I met her, no matter how excited she was to meet me, no matter how bad she wanted me to ask her out, no matter how much she fell in love with me the moment she saw me. And I'm sure all those things are true. And no matter, you know, how my heart, you know, fluttered and flittered just thinking about her. If I had never asked her out again, we'd have never gone out. And I had to ask her out, you know, again and again and again. You know how it is when you're dating. Well, eventually, you know, I woke up one morning, I had this ring on my finger. It's like, where'd that come from? And we've been happy ever since. I had to seek after this relationship. You understand what I'm saying? Likewise, he says, look, if you're a Christian, if you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. In other words, seek those things that only come from above. Why should I have to seek it if God's automatically doing it in me? Why should I have to seek it if there's no hope I could ever become it? You grasp what I'm saying? So therefore, I have to seek it, but if I seek it, I will get it, is what he's saying here. Likewise, no matter what I think about myself, God says it's here for you, and if you seek it, you will get it, you will become it. Whatever it is I've called you to do, but you have to seek it. And so, I seek it where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So, relative to this message, don't set your affection on going to a Bible college or Christian university or seminary thinking that is what causes you to become what God wants you to become. Now, God may tell you to go to a school. I understand that. And there are a lot of people that have enrolled in our college, Grace Ministries Bible College, that God's told them to be there. But we're not like the typical school. Those of you that have enrolled, you know that. We're not like all these other schools out there. And I'm telling you, man, there are Christians out there that they struggle with this. They think we're just like everybody else. And when I try to explain that we're not, it's like tilt, tilt, tilt. If you seek those things which are above, then your life begins to change. If I seek those things which are above, you know what's going to happen? He begins working that sufficiency in me. And that whole thing about grace, well, it's by grace. God will do it by His grace. Well, that's true. I understand that. But look over in Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 16, it says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, Brother Martin, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what my calling is and so on. Well, your sufficiency is not of you. It's of God. Your sufficiency comes from God. He makes you able and so forth. Yeah, but God's working in me to will and to do. That's right. He is. But if you don't go before the throne of grace and you're not in His presence, how in the world is He going to be able to work in you? How's He going to be able to do this? You have to seek those things which are above. It doesn't happen just automatically. And for so many Christians, they've been living their whole lives waiting for something to happen, and God is saying, hey, I'm still on the throne and I never moved. I'm here waiting for you. And if you will seek the things that are above, you know, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of me, and you come boldly before this throne of grace, I work through Him, I work through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I work this in you to bring about the sufficiency of the fulfillment of everything I called you to do. But if you just live your life and you never fellowship with me, I can't work this work in you. It can't happen. And you've got so many Christians that, and I was kind of like this at one time, just, you know, well, God, someday, whenever, you know, here I am, I'm waiting. God says, yeah, I know, and so am I. You know? I'm waiting for you. And if you come and you stay and you hang around, I'll be able to work in you the sufficiency that's necessary so that you will be qualified and you will be able to fulfill what I've called you to fulfill. You come to the place of knowing what you're called to do. You say, well, how do I go before the throne of grace? I can tell you right now, the best way to do this is praying in the Spirit. Because the more that you pray in tongues, you know, here's the thing. Going before the throne of grace is basically nothing more, and this is oversimplification, just sitting down in His presence and start praying. You know why? Because when you do that, you're humbling yourself when you're saying, I know I can't do this by myself. I know I don't have this information that you're going to be giving me right now as I'm praying. And I know that as I'm praying these things, that sufficiency is coming. And you are qualifying. You are making me able. I am becoming more and more sufficient to step into everything that you've called me to step into. I am qualifying myself through you, by you, as you work sufficiency in me, so that I can step out there and do whatever it is you've called me to do, even if the people in the world don't want to have anything to do with me because I don't have my doctorate, and I don't have this, and I didn't do that, and I don't have that background, and I'm this, and I... It won't matter. Because in the eyes of God, He has raised you up. He has made you sufficient. He has qualified you. And let me tell you something, guys, that's all you need. You just need to be qualified and sufficient according to God's standards, and you can do it. No matter who you are, you can do it. Now listen, I don't care what your age is, all right? I mean this. I don't care what your age is. You can do this. All too often, we look at children and we think they're too young. Well, you know, when you turn 18, why are you waiting till 18, man? You take the 10-year-olds, the 9-year-olds, the 8-year-olds. You take the 12, the 13-year-olds, whatever it is. You know, if you're listening and you're in any of those age groups, you can do this. You know, when are you going to wait? Or how long are you going to wait? I mean, what are you waiting for? How bad do you want to know? No matter what your age. How bad do you want this? Do you want this sufficiency? If you do, man, it's yours. God says, the world will do everything it can to help you, but your sufficiency comes from me. I will equip you, and you will be able to fulfill my will in this earth. Kind of like what God did with Jesus. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power. Listen. Until God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power so He could go about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, do you understand Jesus was not fully sufficient? Sounds like blasphemy, but it's not. Jesus' sufficiency came from God. Praise the Lord. And guys, I'm telling you, if you will spend that time with Him, you will be sufficient unto all things according to the will of God. Amen.